We've been talking about the Christmas story and just trying to continue to figure out what a wonder Christ is. And I wanted tonight to talk about what I think may be one of the more, I don't know, every line's profound. I don't know how to gather up profundity, but this particular line tonight is a profound line. And remember that we've been talking about Jesus being, in our last series, the Logos, the Word that is creative, that brings life, that straightens out chaos, that puts things into order, that his Word is Spirit and it is life. And so we've been kind of thinking about that, and then we looked at how that Jesus not only had a star, but that he was the star. He was the thing that everything aspired to, if you will. He was the aspirational identity of everything. He was the thing. When we look up to someone, we're looking up to something that we admire about them and something that inspires us, and it's actually a motivational part of our psyche. And Jesus, at the above all of the other stars, is the aspiration of his people. He is the thing that motivates and excites our inhibitions and our will and our affections. And so today I want to read a passage to you, and then I'm going to ask Brett to stay with me. I'm going to jump back and forth just slightly, not too much. It'll be easy. And to two different verses in this passage, and see if we can't unpack a little bit more of the glory of our Lord Jesus. This is a familiar passage. It's a familiar birth narrative of the Lord Jesus. And it's John's prologue. Let me begin, and you can read it with me if you'd like. In the beginning was the Word, that's the Logos that we've been talking about. And the Logos was with God, and the Logos was God. He, the Word, was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through that Word, through him. And without that Word, nothing was made that was made. And in that Word, in him, in the Logos, in the Word, was life. And the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness. That's the context for the Logos, the chaos or the darkness, and the darkness doesn't comprehend it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. And that was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. And he was in the world, and the world was made through him. And the world did not know him. He came into his own, and his own didn't receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Logos, the Word, became flesh, and he dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. It's a profound, and the prologue goes on down to verse 18, but these are the most profound words. I mean, we could do series and series and never fully dig out all the wonderful stuff that's in it. And I want to go back to verse 4, and I want to hang out here because we've set the stage with the understanding of the Logos, that is the Word, that is the thing that is God, that straightens out, that shines into the chaos, if you will, and makes order of it, that creates order of it. It is somehow the mind of God exercised outside of God. That is, that it is it, the word. If you don't ever say the word, then you're just thinking it. So it is what is the mind of God, or who He is being expressed. And when He expresses things, He changes things by that expression. And so here's this line that's sublime and extraordinary and metaphysical and real and metaphorical and just unbelievable line. In Him was life. In the Logos, in the Word was life, and the life was the light of men. So I thought I'd do a really beginner level kind of physics lesson. Just real beginner. Now, this is probably junior high science. So let's do a little bit of junior high science. And let's ask the question, where does light come from? Like, what makes light? So what makes light is molecules moving. And when they move, they cause heat. That heat has a wave, and that wave gives off light. So that's what it is. But the question is, listen, here's the question. This is the God question, the spiritual question, the question that scientists haven't yet answered and can't answer, no matter how much they do in subatomic physics and studying quarks and anti-quarks and all that kind of stuff, trying to figure out what's inside a proton. Here's what they can't say is this, is that, but what made the atom or the, what made it move? Like, we know that light happens when it moves. That is, that there's energy that's given off. We can measure that energy in heat. That's called temperature. That's the measure of the average translational kinetic energy of atoms as they move. So we can measure it as it comes out, and we know that it has a wave, and it clumps itself up into these things called photons. But what the question is, what is it that makes the atom move? And the question is, the answer is, life. Life makes the atom move. And you think about everything. Colossians says it this way, that in Him everything is held together. By Him everything was made, and in Him everything holds together. And here is this extraordinarily powerful, amazing statement that the Logos, that is the Word of God, not only creates things, but it sustains the things. And the reason it sustains the things is because the things need life in order to be sustained. Now think about it. If God just created me, and there was no life in the thing that He created, it wouldn't sustain itself, would it? That is, it would just flare out. And literally, that I mean that exactly, because the energy that is given off, let's say when you take your wood pile that had a little life in it, and you set it on fire, and it turns into ashes, as it disintegrates, it gives off the energy, the light, and the heat, which could measure, if you will, its life. And so what happens is that here, imagine this, imagine God, imagine John being smart enough in 90 AD to say that the way everything is held together, that is, the way that something actually has light, is because God gave it life. And everything that has life, God gave it life. And everything that has light, God was its light. And so that's an extraordinarily profound thing. And when you think about when you think about what was happening in creation, and that is God was expressing, that is giving life to, he said the world was without form and void and darkness was over the face of it, and whatever it was, and he began to order it with his word, and his word not only brought order to it, but held the order in it so that it wouldn't disintegrate and fall apart. And what happens is that God says that that was born in a manger. And that just blows my mind. That person who is the creator of the world and the organizer of all chaos and the things who brings everything together and holds everything together, in reality he holds them together, is born in a manger. And so my guess is if you unplug your phone from the sound system when your tweets come in, it won't beep. So I like it though. I mean, it's kind of cool. And so, does that mean that's your point? Move on. Okay. So he says that John, and he says that in verse 9, he says that was the true light, which was giving light to every man who is coming into the world. So not only does the light, here's the interesting thing about energy, and the interesting thing about energy is energy the wave, the energy ray, the photon, the light, if you will, not only comes from something moving and heating up, but it also heats up the next thing that's beside it. So the light gives light. Does that make sense? And you know that's how it is, right? I mean, you turn on your heater and your heater actually will make your hand hot. So not only is it hot, but it makes you hot. And one of the things other that I thought was really incredible about the use of the word light is this: energy itself, which is occurs at all of these different spectrums, all the way from a radio wave to a gamma wave, and all the way up, right? And in the middle of that whole thing is light. But here's the fun thing about light. Light is the only energy that's visible to the eye. So in other words, God wanted us to see like him. And so he has all kinds of stuff going on that's out of our eye range, but he is the light and he lights up the world, and he has given our eyes an ability to pick up on a certain section of who he is. And he's also given that to our mind as he opens our mind. And he gives us understanding. And we know that light also, as a metaphor, it is a metaphor to understanding. Would you please shine a light on that text for me? And we all know what we mean by that. We mean, open it up to my eyes, illumine it, shine light on it. In other words, make it seen and make it known. In other words, it's sitting down here in radio bandwidth, and I need it up here and visible between what is it, red on the bottom and purple on the top or something like that. I need it in there somewhere so that I can see it. And so God comes in the form of Jesus, and God, not in the form, God comes as Jesus. And when God comes as Jesus, here's what he's doing: that God has already spoken, and by his logos, he has said, let there be light. In other words, show the world, light it up with me, and that light will give off light, and that light becomes the light to every man. And Jesus would call his own people the what of the world? Light of the world. Because why? He had lit us up. That is, he had warmed us, and we're passing on the warmth. My wife won't lay close to me, and we've had counseling. because she says I give off too much warmth. Almost to the bandwidth where you could see it if you were. So, no, but that is the point. Here's Jesus, and Jesus shows up. And remember, what was the whole big deal about Jesus showing up? It was the God, the Word was God, and the Word showed up. Not only the light, who was the light that lit up every man, and not only in him was life, and the life made the light, and the light went to the men, but the light actually showed up, and it was Jesus. And that's a big deal. So not only is he the apex of our imagination and our aspirations and our inspirations and the desires, he's called the desire of all the nations. He's the thing we're shooting at. But he also has provided the life and the light so that we can hit what we're shooting at. And he points us to himself supremely as the barrier remover between us and him, that great substitute that can stand between the pure light with whom no one can see without dying, that radiant, brilliant light that showed up on the Mount of Transfiguration, that light that God said, I'll show you a glimpse of it to Moses, but if you saw it, you'd die. Between that light and us who are over here in darkness and can't comprehend him and won't receive him, those guys that he's talking about in the prologue, which is us, because of our fallenness and the darkness that's come upon us. He was in the world, and although the world was made through him, the world did not know him, and that was us. And even his own people who he came to, the Jewish people, they didn't receive him either. And so God comes to us, and he has to be born so that the glory of who he is can be illuminated in the person of who he is, the Lord Jesus Christ. Someone that I can see and lay hold of, and he can lay hold of me. Someone who could be just like me in every way. And suddenly I would know who God was and how God was. And to read the rest of the prologue, I probably should have put this up. No one has seen God at any time, but the only begotten Son, this Logos, this Word who is in the bosom of the Father, he has made him known. He has shown up, and he is our light, and he is the light of the world. And he declared himself. You know this in John. He also says, I'm the light of the world. I am not just the star of everyone's aspirations, but I'm literally the energy that makes us able to get to the aspiration. And the aspiration is him. It's like no matter how you tell the story, it ends up at Jesus. And no matter how you frame us who are in darkness and who don't receive him and who don't believe in him and who are darkened in our understanding, God comes in the person of Jesus and he lights our minds and he lights our understandings and he lights our affections and he provides energy to them so that we can believe in him and receive him. And the Bible says that as many as receive him, to them he gives the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in his name. And he says, this didn't come by any means except but of God. He said, who were born again, you're not born of blood. That is, you didn't come to God because your mama did, or the will of the flesh, or something you desired or wanted, because he says, I came to you and you didn't want me. Or of the will of man, that is somebody else couldn't will you into my kingdom, but I had to come and lighten you. I had to come and bring you to life. In him was life, and the life was the light to men, and the light had to bring me to life. And how did he do that? Well, remember, back to the first of the prologue, he's the Word, and his Word is Spirit, and it is life. And so God brings me into life by his Word, and he sustains me by his Word, and he holds me together by the Word. And the Word became flesh, and he dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of he was the only one that ever came from the Father, full of grace and truth. And so, in your Christmas meditations, and this is what I almost like shuddered when I thought about this earlier. You know, I was reading about how fire, that whole little thing I told you on fire, how fire is this energy expressed, if you will, or that leaves something, and it falls apart in the leaving, turns into ashes. And I thought about that if you don't have everlasting life, that same thing will happen to you someday. And then I thought about this. I thought about, that's why I bought these beautiful flowers, these bougainvilleas, because they're alive. Right? Huh? Yeah. Hey. Yeah. Yeah, it's a Spanish word. Yeah, that's... that's what it used to be called when it had stickers. Okay, so, and then I thought, you know, about this part. And while that's beautiful, it's just been removed from the source of life. And so it is what? Decaying away, isn't it? It's actually dead while it lives, isn't it? Yeah? And we can see that, right? And you're dead while you live without Christ. Cut off from him, you're cut off from life. And you're dead while you live. And that's how God described us. And what he says is that he's the vine and he connects us to the branch, and suddenly we can live again, live forever. And he's in him is life, and that life brings everything with it. Brings everything with it. And the other thing is that this thing, the life that's in this thing, and I was thinking about Jack also as it relates to the way, like, my beloved daughter-in-law, well, her deal is that she likes horror flicks and comedies. So there's a little bit of something going on there. But so they were talking about these Christmas stories and the ones that we have seen and haven't seen and like and don't like. And so she's mentioning all the comedies, National Lampoon, and blah, blah, blah. And Jack's like, I don't like those. And you know which ones Jack liked, right? All the Hallmark stories, because they warm her. They warm her little heart. They're beautiful. And so, but let me speak to that. And say this, because I don't want to leave Jesus out of that, and listen to this. Because light also is moral. And God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. And the way that that expresses itself morally is that light is love. God is love. And so that there's something about the energy that is God, the life that is God, that expresses itself morally in love. That is, not only is God love, and he has loved his people. But when his light shines in our heart, we love. That's why John the Beloved, that same John the Beloved that wrote the Johannine prologue, when he was in his later years, said, and you can't say you hate your neighbor and love God, because God's love and God's love has been put in your heart. It's been shed abroad in your heart. And when God, in other words, when you've been heated up by the love of God, your natural response is to love your brother and to love God back, right? And so, little reflection on light and life and Jesus and love this Christmas season. The band's going to come up and we're going to take our offering. And if you're a first-time guest here, this is Crosswind. We're an outreach ministry that helps folks. And one of the things I thought was awesome this week was all of the outreach ministries that were like just on fire, trying to make sure that everybody in Jesus' name, because we honor Jesus, knew that those who have richly been given richly give, and those who have received much give much, and all of that. And out of the thankfulness of our hearts, so many children were blessed. It was just astonishing. This entire room was full of toys. The Lighthouse Toy Store was full of toys. Our little room in the back was full of toys, and money was going to all these other places to help people. And man, I was just like, okay, there's life in that. There's light in that, and there's love in that. So I like that. Let's pray. Lord, we love you, and we're thankful for the life that is in Jesus and the light that expresses itself due to that life, and that it somehow changes everything. It illumines everything. It puts you into everything, your power and your might, And we're just thankful. We're amazed. It's hard for us to get our mind around the fact that you are the thing that's actually moving atoms so that they work right, so that the world is completely ordered, even through this microphone that I'm speaking in. And it overwhelms us that light is also a person who loves us and has given his life for us and who has stood between God and man and made a pathway. And so we love you, and you are our star, our superstar, the star of the morning, and the desire of all of our nations and of our hearts. And you've shaped us. You've put in us what we're shooting for. And you have made for us a way to get there. And we are thankful, and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.